Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listening Podcast. I'm one half of your presenting duo. I'm Stu Whiffin, Christopher Glassell. He's forgot. He's running late, but don't worry. I've got you in my capables, not his incapables. Right. So before we get on to introducing today's guest, I'm going to thank our sponsors. Our sponsors are the Say What Podcast. Have you checked out the Say What Podcast? It's hosted by Big Papa J and Notorious F-A-T-T. They're both absolute peelbacks, and their podcast is a ridiculous barrage of nonsense. They will be tagged in all of the posts on this episode on the socials. Go give them a follow, and if you're brave enough, why not go and give their podcast a listen? Say What Podcast. As well as that, we are sponsored by Reggie Si James of Southern Martial Arts. Go check out Si's stuff. And go check out Si's podcast as well. He does a podcast with Leon McLeod, and it's a wonderful pod through two top fellas. So go give that a listen. But ultimately, go follow Southern Martial Arts. If you're interested in learning martial arts, then I can't recommend it enough. It's been a godsend in my life. Not only do you improve your physical health, but it's really good for your mental health. I've literally just been having a conversation with today's guest about that. So this is a hybrid episode. So what we're doing today is essentially a top five. Chris will hopefully be here soon. But we thought, because I also do work for Reach Out for Mental Health, and one of the things that I do for that service is put together the podcast, where we've had some absolutely fantastic guests, including many former guests of this show, such as Jason Perry, Jordan Gray, Scribius Pip, Gail Porter, the list goes on. And you've heard Kirsty's voice on this podcast on a previous episode. But today we thought we'd bring together both the podcasts and kind of utilise Hardcore Listing's audience to share the message behind Reach Out for Mental Health, and also introduce the lovely people that listen to the Reach Out for Mental Health podcast into the slightly strange and weird and wonderful world of Hardcore Listing. And Reach Out for Mental Health is a fantastic organisation that was put together and is run by the lovely Kirsty Eaton. All right?
I'm good. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Not
too
crunchy, bad.
Crunchy, it's Friday, eh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks. Well, look, before Chris gets here, and we jump into today's top five. For those that are unaware of Reach Out for Mental Health, do you want to sort of give us an overview of what it is, Kirst?
Yeah, sure. It's a charity that I set up probably, crikey, what is it now, about 6 or 7 years ago, following the suicide of a colleague of mine. And it's a suicide prevention service ultimately set up to support adults living in Essex that might be struggling with suicidal thoughts. And we provide support in a range of different ways, from counselling, which we're here to talk about today, to befriending, which is a bit more of an informal version of counselling, if you just want someone to chat to once a week to offload. We also have peer-led coffee groups all over Essex as well, providing people with a chance to meet up with other people that might be struggling, share some suggestions, experiences, pain, but also arguably a bit of hope.
Yeah.
He's
absolutely
here.
He's here.
That was a live picture. I didn't actually realize that was his
screensaver. Screensaver.
Did you think that was
genuinely?
I know it was me, Kirsten.
Bringing boobs to the pod. Okay.
Cassie, I am so sorry. And yeah, I thought I'd get back before the traffic. I got stitched up and then I saw Stu's call and I was like, oh, it has gone past the meeting time. So my massive apologies. I like your hair, by the way. Have you had a cut?
I have. I've taken off all my extensions. It's just my little dreadies now.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to go and watch the video to go and marvel at Kirsty's sweet. Well, look, we was just at the... Kirsty had just given the listeners an overview as to what Reach Out is as a charity and service. And so... today we're going to talk about as a hybrid of the two podcasts. We thought what would be quite good was to discuss the top five benefits of therapy. Now, I guess the first thing we should say is these are both massive advocates of therapy. I think it's a load of old bollocks. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I forgot that. That's the kind of take that you guys have on this pod, isn't it?
But I've had very little experience of it, so I'm very interested to hear how we're going to, how it can be used for really positive things. And so I guess, Kirst, if we start with number five with you, what would you say would be one of the most important reasons, that personally as well, for having therapy?
So I found it quite tricky to actually rank these in order. I genuinely couldn't think of...
I don't think we should put these in an order. I think
because they all kind of contribute to one another, and you can't argue that one of the reasons is more of an important reason for another one. One of the first ones I put down was it stops small problems becoming bigger problems. Ultimately, it's a great way of unpacking some of the issues and problems that you might be experiencing. And like with everything, you know, particularly even with your physical health, something that might start out as a little niggle, if you leave it long enough unchecked, it can develop into something a bit more insidious.
Yeah.
So that
such
was
a good point.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And I think you can see it in yourself or your friends as well, or in, I've seen it in relationships as well, where, you know, it's a bit like a little bit of rust on your car. If you leave that rust, it's just going to spread. And like, you know, there's, I've got two family members who in a sort of like situation where their coping mechanisms for dealing with a traumatic event are just getting more and more bizarre. And,
do you want to share? Yeah. Can you share?
They have suffered from what I'd say is a quite largely traumatic event that they've had no control over. And what they have done as a result, and despite my constant protests, not protests, that would be wrong, kind encouragement to seek therapy now, refuse to. And so then as the years go on now, the more and more they are between themselves and not speaking to anyone else, creating these paradigms of why what's happened has happened. And these paradigms aren't necessarily healthy for them either. And so it almost, you know, I think there's a thing, is it called folie à deux, which is like a joint illusion. It's an illusion or a delusion you share with someone. And I think because they aren't speaking to anyone else about these issues, and they sometimes share that issue with me, all they've got is each other.
They're
to
living
talk
in their own echo
it.
Chamber of their
and
own
it
bias.
It is just they say what is calm, what is soothing to the soul to hear, which is obviously, you know, as human beings, we need to have our souls healed or soothed. But sometimes, if that's just putting a plaster over what is an absolute crevasse that was not of their making, you know, I think that's it. And I think it's that crevasse is getting bigger And I see like the softening in their eyes and the sadness in their eyes, and I see it getting worse, you know. And I think, see, that's it. It's like, it's a problem that I wish they'd have nipped in the bud sooner. Now there's so much more for them to try and, because they've not got to get over the issue. They've got to now deal with these sort of coping things that they've, behaviours that they've taught themselves. So, yeah, it's such a good point, Kirsty, to put it like that.
What made you initially get counselling, and did you have therapy, Kirsty? Did you have any reservations, or what were they?
I first decided to get counselling after I had my daughter and I had really quite significant postnatal depression. I didn't have any reservations. I don't know. I'd say I had the same reservations as I did about taking meds, in that it was such a big deal when you finally say, I can't do this on my own. I need external help. Whatever this is, it's bigger and it's stronger than me, and I need some help. That in itself was the only issue in kind of relinquishing control, because me being a massive control freak, as anyone who knows me very well will know. So that was the only issue. I mean, in terms of being vulnerable in front of another person and sharing some of these horrible feelings that you had wasn't an issue to me. I was quite open to having an opportunity to purge, which was massively cathartic in itself.
Mm.
And so, no, I'd say, you know, once I got over the initial period of, fuck, I can't do this myself, I need something else. It was fine. And I mean, something else I want to put on here, just because I don't know if it's going to come up later in the chat. You know, my first experience of counselling wasn't fantastic. It wasn't it wasn't bad. Yeah. I mean, you know, the therapist that I had was perfectly fine. It was the free therapy that you get by your GP. But it wasn't groundbreaking. She was a nodder, you know, and which again, for me at the time was fine. It was just an opportunity for me to get it all out. But I know what I needed was someone to really challenge me and to encourage me to look at things a little differently. So that's something else I'd say for anyone that may have had or may have given counselling or therapy of any kind. They've given it a go and they've found that it wasn't, they might have had a really shit experience, but don't let that put you off. There are so many different approaches out there, so many different modalities, so many different therapists. If you've had a underwhelming or maybe even a shit experience in counselling and you're still feeling like you need some help, don't let that one encounter put you off. You know, give it another go with someone else, with another charity.
Completely agree. Yeah, hey. I think as well, you can now, I started therapy again, I think it was around about April last year. And what I discovered on this next round of it was that when I was looking online and searching for therapy, a lot of the counsellors were like, look, come and do like a, you know, we can do a Zoom or a free consultation or over the phone, or you can come in. And so the good thing about that is you haven't got to put all your eggs in one basket. You can just go, you know what, let's do a couple of these. And I'm sure I'll speak to someone who I think probably I feel most comfortable with. And actually, you can hear how, like you say, Kirsty, like their approach is kind of important, because you're going to listen to certain people more than others to some extent. And you can get a vibe of their strategy for doing it before you say, well, I can do it. And you know what? Like, I don't feel like any way now about saying to someone, yeah, thanks very much. I mean, one of my close friends has just said that to their therapist. Like, I think it's been really useful for these aspects, but there's some other bits I want to work on. And actually, I think I need to, you know, I think someone else who's got more of a background in that is going to be more useful. So I'm going to move on. And the therapist was very professional. They weren't whiny or whingy or mate. They were just like, absolutely, that's brilliant. And so, you know, I think that's it. You can look around and don't worry about switching out. My first therapist was great. And weirdly, I think everyone since has never been quite up to that person. It's also like I knew what I needed out of it. And even the ones where I was like, this isn't the best. I think I just, the fact I could get a lot of what I needed just to say off my chest was kind of like half the battle, as opposed to hearing some creative sort of insight from them. But I definitely need to be challenged, like you, Kirsty. I don't want someone patting me on the back saying, there. I don't need that. I need like people to help me think of, I think it's look at a, think of perspectives that I haven't thought of yet. And
you think that's a real benefit?
If I was going to say, I had one benefit to talk about today. So if, can I put one in here, Kirsty? Is that
all
right?
I've got it written down as well, Chris.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's the same thing I've got written down.
Yeah. It's like, for me, and, you know, if I was to match it to the people I was speaking about earlier, or anyone who hasn't had therapy yet, what are the benefits of therapy are, you can't see them. Because a lot of the time, you're thinking in a linear line of what you're going to go, or what you think they're going to do to help solve you. And you've already made your mind up to think that doesn't help you. But the problem is, that's why you're stuck in the cycle that you are, is because you haven't thought of the perspective that frees you up from the demons that are chaining you down. Because if you could have thought of that perspective, you'd have done it by now. And so, you know, it's almost self-fulfilling. The reason you don't go to a therapist is because you can't see what they're going to say that's going to help you. Well, of course you can't see what they say is going to help you. That's why you're miserable. Like, if you're like... I don't know what they're going to say. And the things that have helped me so much in this last round that I did in March, just a couple of small little micro adjustments to my perspective on certain things have liberated me for feeling like shit about certain subjects. And that's all I needed. But, you know, sometimes you might get that from your friends. You might have friends who actually give you that nugget of advice. It's all you needed was that shifting of a perspective. But also, your friends aren't professionals at it. And actually, you might go and see a professional, and they are the one who's like, yeah, Chris, that's one way of looking at it. Have you thought about it from that perspective? No, I haven't. And in actual fact, that's liberated me from inaction. And actually, now I can do X, Y, and Z because you've put it in a way of me. I used to see it as a bad thing. And now you used to put it in a way that makes me go, oh, hold on, that's not, this isn't on me, or that is actually not a, me doing that isn't sort of a thing to be ashamed of, or, you know. So that's what I think about therapy, is like the benefits of therapy, stop assuming. And so if I was just to quickly give the example of these two people who I love very dearly, they keep telling me, right, every time I speak to them about therapy, and sometimes I think, oh, they're going to do it. And then I realise actually they were placating me. And then they'll tell me their reasons for not. So the two most recent ones is, one, the event, they don't know why the event happened, right? They haven't been given a reason as to why this tragic event happened. And they've said to me, therapy's only for people who know what happened. And I kind of said, look, guys, like, have you, as a therapist, told you that? No, because we haven't, be honest, like, no therapist is going to say that. And, you know, a simple Google search will tell you that a lot of bereavement or grief happens with no explanation. The person who walks out, your loved partner who walked out and got hit by a bus, there was no explanation for that. But you're left with this big hole in your life of that relationship. I said, that's a one analogy for what has happened to them. It's not the same, but it's kind of similar. And they're like, yeah, okay. But they say that. And then, like, the next time I speak to them, they've got a new reason why therapy. And it's, again, it's like, it's, there's this defense mechanism. What was the other one? What we're suffering from isn't emotional, it's physical. It's a physical problem, not emotional. And it's like, you've written that, you're a grown person, you're 60, and you've written that in a message to me. And it's like, the message before it said, so-and-so is absolutely miserable and sad and can't stop thinking about X, Y, Z. And I said, you know, I know I sound like a bit of a broken racket, but that's why I think, you know, it might be time to consider therapy. No, because we've realised that this is a physical thing, not an emotional thing. You're like, I mean, like, how do you...
point to like the biopsychosocial model, do you know what I mean? And you know, obviously your mental health can feed into your physical and vice versa. But I mean, again, I think with anything, when you're, I mean, I've got friends, one in particular, who I've been begging to go to therapy for about 5 years, and she's adamant she doesn't want to go. So I've given up preaching to her, and I'm just trying to find out, like you say, more of the reasons why they don't want to go. And it's frustrating, like you say, when they're throwing reasons at you that you can quite easily explain away.
Discount, yeah.
You know, and there's still that resistance to go. Clearly there's something else at play.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's just being patient and kind.
Yeah.
And just waiting.
I think there's a
ready.
Fear to it. I think part of it is the ego's scared of what they're going to discover if they go and talk to someone, you know, and that might, you know, everyone's got an ego and, you know, the ego doesn't want to change. It's kind of like happy in the state that it's in. It's going to fight to stay like that. And maybe there's the fear that, you know, go to therapy, they might say something and it might make them re-look at other things that they're terrified at looking at. Like they might see that, oh, well, what happens if it means that we did this wrong?
Yeah.
And people don't want to change that. But I think in many ways, where I've actually, the counter to that, like the things that I've been forced to accept and sometimes reassess and take ownership of, I could then actually, in doing that, it led me to forgive myself. It led me to do some, you know, take action in certain areas that I never thought were even relevant and actually weren't and really helped me. So, yeah, sorry, I've sort of like bastardised my point being, you know, a therapist is going to teach you or is going to talk to you about, give you a perspective you don't know exists. And so, therefore, you can't second guess the benefits of therapy. You've really got nothing possibly left to, you've got nothing to lose, really, I feel, in going.
That's my point. Yeah, I mean, I think you referenced there about having a conversation with somebody and then saying something and it really kind of, the penny sort of dropping. And I think that it can work both ways with me. I can have something that my counsellor has been repeating over and over and over and you just kind of, it's like, yeah, it's not resonating with me. It's I hear what you're saying. I'm not refusing to see it. It's just, I don't really feel that it's what's going on right now. And then your friend can say it and you're like, it feels like you've been hit by a bus.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Or the other way around. Your friend can be bleating on at you about something for years and years. Your counsellor can reframe it as to something else. Yeah. And it's just, holy shit, that is a complete game changer.
Do you know what they call that? The eureka moment.
Hello, right.
So basically, it's like you can, and you get that at school as well. You can have a teacher explain something to you and you can repeat it back to the teacher, right? But you don't embody what they mean.
No.
And then one day something will happen and you will just be like, I understand this now inside and out. I don't need to parrot back the same words. I can explain this in 8 different ways. I fully understand what they mean now. And like often the eureka moment only comes when you go through a load of shit, and like you realise what they were telling you was right, and you didn't listen to them. It's funny because me and my partner do it all the time, both ways. So, you know, it could be Molly turns around to me 3 years later and says, so my therapist said da da, and it's really good. And you know, when you just think, babe, I've been fucking saying that to you for years. But it's the same. Like, I've done that to her and to loads of my friends. With her. Yeah, Chris, we have been saying that to you. So that eureka moment, it's like, but if finding that therapist who gets under your sort of barriers and you're more prepared, because I think sometimes it's like that independence of you paying and going and having to travel to them. I don't know, there's some symbolism in that, that your subconscious means that it wants to listen to what this person's got to say.
Yeah.
Whereas your friend that you've seen, you know, you've been in and out of like all sorts of like hijinks with them, and you know, you kind of just don't listen to them sometimes as much as you might a professional. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, you've got that buy-in with the therapist. Like you say, if you're travelling there and you're paying them, then, yeah, your subconscious is going, we're going to listen to what this person's got to say.
Help me, please.
If you had to sort of throw another one in the pot, Kirst, what would you say?
Well, I suppose as a segue into or out of what we've just said, you really do learn more about yourself. It gives you a chance to identify certain habits or patterns of behaviour that ordinarily, and again, like your outsider, your friend or your family members, they might have been digging away at you and saying, you're doing this and I don't really think that's the best way of doing things. When you've got a counsellor or a therapist that's unpicking things and kind of peeling back the onion and allowing you to recognise and make those realisations yourself, again, that's another opportunity for a eureka moment. And that's where further development and growth can come from. You can start making those changes yourself, because it's all well and good someone saying, I don't know, I can't think of an example without giving myself away, but yeah, just giving you, yeah, just telling you shit that you know that you don't really want to hear, but when you start unpicking it and you can start seeing, I suppose it's a bit like, if you have got certain coping strategies or wonky patterns of behaviour, I always describe it as looking at a cliff or looking into like a big precipice, and you think, I'd normally go down there because I like what's down there and I think I still want to go down there, but I'm going to get some pillows and I'm going to do some lining, so when I do go down there, it's not going to hurt as much and I can get myself out of it a little bit easier.
Wow.
Is that a bit of a weird analogy? Do you get what I mean?
No, I get it, yeah. Safeguard.
Also.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I've had therapy twice. Maybe, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago. And it was really weird. I had loads of shit like that when I was a kid. Like, my mum and dad used to take me to psychiatrists all the time. one of my earliest memories of a hospital was being at Great Ormond Street, literally with blokes with clipboards watching me play with stickle bricks. It's quite weird. I don't know if they still do that. When I had therapy maybe 8 years ago, I found it really strange. I found just suddenly being completely open, and I'm generally quite an open person anyway, but being completely open with a complete stranger that it's kind of always got like one eye on the clock. And and it sort of felt in the last sort of 10 minutes as I was starting to kind of feel comfortable that it was like, and I understand it was just like, well, we're done. And it was like, and I know that it's a business and I know that that's their job and I understand the constraints of maybe they've got somebody else and stuff like that. But I found that really weird just because I think as a person, if I was talking to somebody and that, the whole purpose was for them to open up, and they do. And then the minute they do, you're like, well, we've made some good headway today. Let's pick back up on this next week. And I don't really know what my point is on this, but I did find that like kind of left just going, oh, yeah, all right, yeah. So, yeah, cheers. Here's your money. Bye.
Yeah, that is difficult. I mean, I do know what you mean, and I think my most recent therapist, she was really good. I never saw her eyeball moving the clock once. And she was always, again, I'm quite fidgety. I gesticulate quite a lot, but she had like a laser focus on me. She was always moving wherever I was. Like you say, saying it's a business, it's more to the point where they're going to have another appointment after you. So they need to make sure that they finish in on time, but also ultimately that they're not going to be opening up Pandora's box when they know they've only got 10 minutes left. But equally so, if you are, in a bit of a state and your time's up, they still have a duty of care to make sure that you are safe and that you're well enough to go home and that, you've put in any kind of strategies in place to make sure that you're okay for the coming week, before your next appointment. You shouldn't notice that. There should have been a bit more, I reckon.
This also does come back to what you said, Kirsty, though, that maybe that therapist weren't right for you. Yeah. Maybe they're shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I only went because it was local.
Not all painters and decorators are good. Do you know what I mean? You could be left with a bad sort of experience, but it doesn't mean to say that there's not someone out there. And I'd say also, it's difficult, if you've had that experience. But, I try to go with the sort of like opinion that because now you've got that, you've got to watch out that you have this tainted thing of are they clock watching or whatever? Mm. Because that's already a barrier for you to get help because you're going to be in there thinking, are they being legitimate? And I would say like I try to go in there with the I go in there expecting a positive outcome or like that they are there in good faith as well as money. But, they have chosen to do that as a vocation. And I don't think it purely just comes from there's a couple of quid to be snatched here. I think that most, even if they're good or bad, generally they want to help. And it's funny, my most recent therapist, she's really good. It wasn't the exact style of therapy that I would say is perfect for me. But she threw in enough of those alternative perspectives that really were great for me. But she was stifling yawns all the time. Stopping yawns all the time. And the thing with me is...
Was that because you were boring?
Well, you can answer that yourself, mate. You've done a podcast with me for 5 years. You know I'm boring.
Yeah.
Right? I can wear all the jazzy tracksuits I want. It doesn't get away from the fact... Fundamentally, I'm shallow and boring. You're doing it now.
So I'm not.
The funny thing is, because
I'm an empath,
Kirsty,
and then I'll start doing it, and then it'll really get complex.
The thing is, though, I'm not built like that. I'm not built to get complex. Like, I'm the opposite of what Stuart's somewhat neurotic thought there was. That Stuart sat there thinking they are clock watch. Stuart's nodded off. Look, they are clock watching.
The wanker.
Right. Whereas. Even when she was yawning, I was very much thinking...
You put your finger in her mouth.
She's got... I got her. I was very much thinking, she sits here 8 hours a day listening to people. And whether or not she's listening intently or not, she never yawned out. She never once yawned and opened her mouth. I could see her swallowing the yawn frequently. She's got young kids. Doesn't mean to say she's not listening to me. And this idea, if I went there with that positive mindset of expecting a positive, means that when I saw her do that, all I did mentally in my head was have a little chuckle and just made sure that what she was saying to me was proving that she was listening to me. If she's not listening, or she's wrapping up halfway through me fucking telling her I can't take anymore, I would be like, okay, this is more than her stifling a yawn or not having an interest in me.
Did not engage.
But that's all it was. And like, I think there's that's things to identify as going there, not assuming that they aren't there to help you, Stu, and also realise that some are going to be better than others. That person might not have been right for you, but also is what else they're doing showing they actually give a shit, or are they just dialing in the session? And if they are dialing in, and I don't mean because you're going to do it over Zoom, I mean they just don't give a shit. They'll placate you. Mm-mm. And I've had friends who, they come back from therapy, and the stuff that they've said, Kirsty, is, to me, the stuff he's saying to me, like of what the therapist has said, is fucking bullshit.
Really?
And like, I've had two people do this to me, and they come and say things to me that, having gone through a lot of therapy, to me sounds like someone who hasn't done therapy is actually saying what they think the therapist would have said to placate the behaviour that they are then currently taking. Because it is just like, no, my therapist told me definitely to do that, or, you know. And, you know, it's just so wild, because I've never seen a therapist tell me to do fucking anything.
Exactly.
Do you know 100%. What I mean?
A therapist worth their salt will not tell you to do anything,
So either, and I'd say to them, either I wouldn't say they're, because there's no point in telling someone they're, like, if they feel that uncomfortable about going to therapy, calling them a liar for saying that they've gone when they haven't, I don't think helps them much.
No.
But I tend to say, look, that doesn't sound like a good therapist to me. Because it's encouraging you to take action or inaction in the areas that are causing you the most distress. It just doesn't sound... It sounds like maybe, like we've said, shop around. Maybe go and find someone else.
Kirst, have you got any more that you want to throw in of benefits?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, again, something that we have alluded to today, you know, it sometimes it is just nice to have an opportunity to purge, just to get it all out without someone interrupting you. I mean, you know, Chris and I have both said we don't like nodders. But sometimes, and some weeks, I do just want someone to nod. You know, I just need, I've had a shit week, or if I was doing monthly sessions, I've had a shit month, and I just want to cry, and I just want to get it all out, and I just want to vent, spleen. And that's hugely cathartic, and that's something
that
us as friends and family members, sorry, got funny nose, we really crap at, because we want to fix people, we want to take people out of the pain that they're in. We want to make it all better. And so when you're confiding in your friends, or you just want to say, oh, you know what, I think it's just really shit at the moment, you know, we automatically jump in. We've got that writing reflex.
Solutions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't. You just want to go, fuck that. Can you just listen to what I've got a phone?
Yeah.
And your therapist, they will do that. And sometimes that is. It's just like...
Absolutely. Yeah. Just letting someone know and hear it. And sorry, Stu, just before you say that, my
just
most
you
recent therapist. yeah, just before you interrupt, shut up. My therapist said, like, because the first, when I went for this, one of the first two sessions with her, and I apologise, I said I'm doing a lot of talking, and I've got, because of how my brain's set up, I'll skip from subject to subject. I said, I'm really sorry, I've got a bit of a butterfly mind. And she said, it's cool. I think, let's get all the toys out onto the carpet, and then we can figure out, we can go from there. And I thought that was such a good way of an analogy of, I just need to get everything out, and then we can sort of like look at, well, where do we go from here once we can see the things that are rumbling around in your head? And the solution for me, was just, she just said, just get onto heavy drugs and just sedate yourself as much as possible. And that's kind of what one of my mates would have said to me when they went to a therapist. They'd be like, and then they just told me everything's fine and just carry on doing what I'm doing, and it's everyone else's problem. I'm like, no.
Good grief.
Sorry, Stu, I interrupted there, mate. I'm really sorry.
I love that.
I was just sort of trying to sort of summarise really what we spoke about here and sort of to, I guess, to kind of sort of wrap it really, Kirst, would you, if someone is listening right now and they were considering therapy, what would you say? Because, like I say, from my experience, it wasn't a particularly positive experience, but I could have gone somewhere else and had a completely life-changing experience that would have, you know, saved me from being an idiot. And, like, if you had to sort of say to somebody, like, you know, it's obviously the same goes to you, Chris, but finding a therapist, would you go on recommendations? Would you go, how would you go about finding a therapist that might be right for you?
Well, I found my therapist on counsellingdirectory.co.uk.com, not sure. Just Google counselling directory and read a load of profiles. And for me, I mean, obviously this is horses for courses, but if you're going to start talking about, I've been working in private practice for this many years and I've got this many accreditations and check my CPD portfolio and I've worked with this presentations and that and that and that. I don't really like that. But that's just me. I liked the personal approach that will say something like, I don't know, I'm going to jump on Fraser from Fraser Crane. So he went into private practice. There's a fantastic episode where he goes back to private practice and he started every session by saying whether or not our connection lasts for just for one day or for years to come, I can't tell you how excited I am to go on this journey with you. I like stuff like that. So just go through the profiles, see what leaks out at you, see who you think you can trust. You know, the pictures also go a great way to comforting you or, you know, giving you an idea about the kind of person that you're looking. If you want to really...
Always go for the fittest.
Biggest boobs.
Biggest boobs. Yeah, that's it. That's it, yeah.
But, I think it's... by all means, ask for recommendations. But, you know, like you've said, Stu, you get to have these... it was Chris that said it. You get to have these introductory chats, no obligation. You have a chat to see whether or not the therapist gels with you or if you gel with the therapist, and then you can make a formal appointment to go from there. But even after a couple of sessions, if you're thinking, this isn't vibing with me, you can. You know, I mean, again, I'm a terrible people pleaser, so I would be racked with guilt by saying to my therapist, I'm not sure you're exactly right for what I need right now. But you do. You've got to bite the bullet and say, you're great, you're wonderful, you're fantastic, it's me, it's all me, it's not your fault, it's me, I'm just going to go over here for now. But you do, if you're going to be paying this person and making a commitment to spend an hour a week with them, you need to make sure that they're the right person for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're there for you. You've got to do that. And that's exactly what I would say. I mean, I have a look at what their rough backgrounds are. If they're listing what I might see as the things that I might need to go for. So, you know, deal with compulsive masturbating. Right, great. Okay, so I'm going to need, that's one of the things I need to go and talk to them about. Yeah. And then, and also how they, like you said, like how it leaks out to you, how it resonates, like how, what their wording they've choose to explain how they approach the thing, and then you'll see a few that you're like, oh yeah, that sounds a bit more like me, and then just go from there.
Yeah, you went to that one where that picture was that bloke with his dinkle in his hand, didn't you?
Yeah, but he wasn't. All the photos were great, but we didn't resonate. But I went with the therapist with three tits in the end. Different strokes for different blokes.
Absolutely. Kirst, if anyone needs to reach out, as over the time that we've been having this chat, considered maybe their situation might benefit from the services that Reach Out provides. What's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, just to reiterate, we only support individuals in Essex. So I know that obviously this podcast goes far and wide, but we are only an Essex-based charity. And yeah, look us up on reachoutformentalhealth.co.uk. Check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. You can make a self-referral. You can just give Karen a call. Karen is our marvellous service coordinator. She'll have a chat with you. Do you know, it's not uncommon for people to chat to Karen and after an hour think, do you know what? I feel so much better. Again, just having that someone to talk to. And some people don't feel that they necessarily feel that they want to engage in counselling for that point. But if you want to, then Karen can carry out an assessment and then get you allocated with one of our marvellous counsellors.
Fantastic. It's an amazing thing you do, yeah, Kirsten.
Love chatting to you, Kirsten. Thank you very much for what you do.
No, thank you both for coming on and for having me on. I don't know, how's this working? Russell to be together, yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Right, I'm going to press stop. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.